Please turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 to 31. We've been working our way together through the book of Galatians. This morning we want to consider together a better way to live. Again, our text this morning is from Galatians chapter 4. We're picking up where we left off last time with verse 21. Let's hear God's word together. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she's in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So brothers, we're not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we do thank you. We thank you for your unceasing, unfailing, and immeasurable goodness and love toward us. We thank you, Lord, that by your grace you smile on us, and you favor us, you love us, you have accepted us and received us as your children. You cover over all of our sins and do not hold our guilt against us. We thank you, Lord, that your love reaches through all eternity and all time, that you have set your heart upon us, that you welcome us into the family of God, that you are always with us, that you walk with us through good times and bad, through troubles and trials, prospering us, protecting us, blessing us, and keeping our way. We thank you, Lord. You are altogether good, merciful, and kind. And we pray now that as we come to your word together, you might cause the light of your love, the light of your countenance, we might cause your favor and grace to shine on us, Lord. Encourage us and bless us with your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 2014 was a very good year in lots of ways. Lots of things to thank God for. Lots of things to be appreciative for. Lots of blessings. Lots of grace. You know, you can't be too grateful. You can't be too appreciative for all the ways that God blesses us. There were just lots of things in 2014 to thank God for, and perhaps some things that weren't so great. You know, maybe in the past year you had some things that were difficult or painful or disappointing. Maybe some things you just soon not remember. You know, maybe there were some things last year you just as soon forget, or maybe even some things you might even regret. But as we begin a new year together, there's no way to guarantee that the new year is going to be perfect. You know, there's no way to promise that everything's going to be just right, because there's all kind of things that we have no control over. But, you know, sometimes you get a sneaky suspicion that maybe somehow, sometimes, some of the things that happen to you might in some way be partially your own fault. You know what I mean? Sometimes you think, what is it about me that I attract this kind of person? You know, what am I doing wrong that these things keep happening to me? You know, what is it about me? I keep finding myself in the same situation. You know, sometimes you get a sneaky suspicion that maybe somehow, in some way, something you're doing is at least contributing to these situations in life. Maybe it's just the way you relate to people. You know, maybe you depend too much on other people. Or maybe you overreact to situations and you make it work. You kind of panic, or maybe you just have some bitterness that you haven't dealt with, and you don't realize it, but it just kind of comes out, and people pick up on that. You know, those are the kind of things that by God's grace you can do something about. We can't guarantee the new year is going to be perfect, that everything is going to be the way we want. But by God's grace, we can be different. Okay? You can do better, and you can live better. And that's what we want to consider together this morning. Not a perfect year, but a better way of life. Okay? Because there are two ways to live. Look with me at our text this morning. Beginning with verse 21, Paul says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law?" Now, obviously, Paul is writing to the churches throughout Galatia, which was, we would call it modern-day Turkey. And they were both Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians in these churches. So, in a sense, the whole letter is written to both Jewish and Gentile Christians. But most recently, the passages we've been looking at have been focusing mostly on the Jewish Christians. Because Paul's talked about what their life was like under the Jewish law before they came to Christ. So up till now, he's mostly been focusing on the Jewish Christians, but now he broadens it, and he's more directly talking to the whole congregation, to both Jewish and Gentile Christians who want to be under the law. Now, the law here refers to God's law, okay, the Ten Commandments. It also refers to the ceremonial law, the Jewish festivals and ceremonies. It also refers to the different man-made rabbinic traditions. Okay. But to be under the law is to make your relationship with God dependent on your ability to keep these different rules. Now, we can understand how Jewish Christians might be tempted to put themselves back under the law, because that's the way they were raised. And it's very easy to fall back into old habits and patterns. It's easy to fall back into old ways of thinking. So you can understand how Jewish Christians, they come to know Jesus, but they might be tempted to fall back into these old patterns. And that's easy to understand. You know, maybe there's also some emotional, sentimental attachment. They like the old traditions. Maybe there's pressure from, you know, unbelieving Jewish relatives who want them to be more Jewish. Whatever the reason, you can understand how some Jewish Christians might be tempted to fall back to living under the law. But how on earth, why on earth would Gentile Christians want to put themselves under Jewish law? Why would Gentile Christians want to become Jewish? Well, I think one reason is because we tend to divide the world into two ways of living, okay? Good and bad, us and them, okay? Moral and immoral, hardworking and lazy, honest and dishonest. We tend to think of life that way, two ways of living, okay? Good and the bad, the moral and the immoral. And when you look at life that way, especially when you're living in an immoral culture, it's easy to be attracted to morality and religion, okay? Imagine you're a Gentile Christian, and the ancient world could be very immoral, okay? Paganism in the ancient world encouraged debauchery. It encouraged drunkenness. All that was part of the religious festivities of the day. I mean, prostitution was a part of their religious celebration. If you grew up in that, now, obviously, immorality can be attractive to people, too. But if you grew up in that and you didn't know who your dad was and you didn't know who mom was going to come home with and you saw the ugly underside of immorality, you can understand how you might be attracted to the order, the stability, the family life, the structure of something like Judaism, okay? In an immoral culture, it's easy to be attracted to morality and religion. I knew a family. They were not a Christian family. They didn't profess to be, but they had foster kids, lots of foster kids, and they wanted to make sure their foster kids came to church. Because in their mind, there's two ways of living. There's moral and there's immoral. You know, and it was either you want them on the streets or you want them in church. You know, so in their mind, they wanted their kids in church just because they thought religion is better than no religion. Morality is better than immorality. And that was kind of their way of thinking. In the same way, there are a lot of places in our country where Islam has become popular because it promotes a strong family. And in places where the family has broken down, there's a certain appeal to that. There's an appeal to that order and the structure and those rules. In an immoral culture, there is a certain attraction to morality, okay, and religion. Now, Paul is writing both to the Jewish Christians who want to put themselves back under the law and to these Gentiles. And he says, listen, those of you who want to be under the law, do you listen to the law? Do you know the law? Do you know what the law says? For it's written that Abraham had two sons. And obviously, if you were Jewish, you were proud of the fact that you were physically descended from Abraham. If you weren't Jewish, if you were a Gentile, you're a Gentile Christian, maybe you're jealous that you're not descended from Abraham. Okay? Paul is saying, okay, you're so into Abraham, you're so into the law. Let me tell you what the law says about Abraham. The law says Abraham had two sons, one born of a slave woman and one born of a free woman. Okay? Paul is referring to the fact that thousands of years ago, God came to Abraham and he made an amazing promise. He said, Abraham, one day I'm going to come. I'm going to come and I'm going to be with you and I'm going to bless you. God made this amazing promise that one day he would come to us and be with us and bless us. And we've been looking at that over the last number of weeks, that, you know, God at last has come in the fullness of time, first in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And now when you trust in Jesus, he comes to us in the person of his Holy Spirit. That God has fulfilled that wonderful promise to Abraham by coming to us in the person of his son, Jesus. And then when you trust in Jesus, okay, God has come in the person of his Spirit to be with you and bless you. But part of that promise to Abraham was that God would give Abraham as many descendants as the stars in the sky. And the Bible says Abraham believed that. And that was reckoned to him as righteousness. So Abraham believed God's promise that God would give him a son, that God would give him an heir to carry on the family name, to lead to all these descendants, to inherit his wealth and his property and his blessings. And yet Abraham waits and he waits and he waits and he doesn't have a son. Because Abraham's wife Sarah was barren. She wasn't able to have children. And so eventually, Abraham gets tired of waiting, and he decides to take things into his own hands. And Abraham sleeps with his wife's slave woman, with Hagar, and he has a son by Hagar. Okay? The son was Ishmael. Okay? And Ishmael's mom was a slave, so the boy is born a slave. But then God comes to Abraham again, and he says, Abraham, that's not what I meant. When I told you you're going to have a son, I said I was going to give you a son. And it's going to be a son by your wife. It's going to be a son by Sarah. And so Abraham has to simply trust the Lord. And he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he gets older and older until the point where Sarah is way beyond childbearing age. I mean, when she was young, she wasn't able to have kids because she was barren. And now she's even too old to have kids. And then God enables Sarah to conceive, and she gives birth to a son, Isaac. Okay. The first child was born by effort, born according to the flesh. Abraham did it. He could make it happen. He slept with his slave woman and gave birth to a child who also was a slave. But the second child, Isaac, was not born by effort. Abraham couldn't make it happen. It was just born by God's promise. God said he would do it, and in God's time, God did it. And so Paul says there were two different children born two different ways. One was a slave, one was free. One was born of your own effort, of the flesh. One was a child of the promise. And then Paul says, okay, this may be interpreted allegorically. In other words, he says it really happened in history. There really was an Abraham. There really was a Sarah and a Hagar. But there's a lesson we can learn from those two ladies and those two sons. He says, these women are two covenants. In other words, even though that really happened, we can learn from that. They represent two different ways of relating to God. Okay, when we think of different ways of living, we think of morality and immorality, good and bad, us and them, hard work or laziness, honesty and dishonesty. Okay, and those two are very different. Morality is very different than immorality. Okay, but both of them have the same way of relating to God. Okay, immorality says, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to go off and I'm going to, you know, get drunk and I'm going to party and I'll be debauched. And okay, immorality says, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want. Morality says, I don't care what God says, I can save myself. I can do, I don't care about the promise, I can do it myself. I can do it in my own strength. I can do it myself. I can do it in my own ability. Morality and immorality are very different. And morality is better than immorality. Honesty is better than lying. Hard work is better than laziness. Okay? But both are similar in the sense that both involve the rejection of God. Okay? Imagine a woman has a son, and she tries to raise him well. She tries to teach him how to live. She tries to do all the right things, but he's rebellious. He rejects everything mom says. He runs away from home, and she never sees him again. He ignores all the things she ever taught him, and he engages in a very immoral, debauched life. Then mom has another son, and he listens to everything mom says, and he takes it to heart, and he grows up to be a very moral, hardworking young man. He gets a good job. He starts a family. Okay, in some ways, those two sons are very different. One is moral, one is immoral. One is hardworking, one is lazy. One is honest, one's dishonest. Okay, two very different. And make no mistake, the moral son is better than the immoral. Hardworking is better than laziness. Honesty is better than dishonesty. But what if that moral son, what if he never talks to his mom? Maybe he calls her once a year on Mother's Day, but that's it. Well, in some ways, those two sons are very different, but in some ways, they're very similar. They both rejected mom. Neither has a relationship with mom. And what Paul has shown us here is that morality is better than immorality, but both of them involve the rejection of God. Because the human heart resists depending in faith upon God. Like Abraham, trusting in the Lord, depending in faith upon God is hard. It doesn't come natural. We want to do it ourselves. We want to do things our own way. We want to do things in our own strength. And so Paul says there are two ways to relate to God, but it's not good versus bad. It's not moral versus immoral. It's that we can live by effort or we can live by faith. We can trust ourselves, or we can trust in Christ. Okay, and so as we begin a new year together, the challenge is not are you going to be good or bad, but how are you going to be good? Are you going to try to do it in your own effort? Are you just going to try harder? Are you just going to make a few resolutions and just do your best? Or are you going to live by faith? Are you going to live by your own effort, which Paul says just produces slavery? The flesh produces the flesh. Are you going to just try to do it yourself in your own strength, which just leads to bondage and slavery? Or are you going to live as a child of the promise? Okay. Paul says, in effect, you want a better life this year? You want to be different, a better way to live? Live as a child of the promise. Look what he says in verse 25. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she's in slavery with her children. All right, this would be shocking, okay? Because these were Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians living in Galatia who are looking at Judaism as what a great way, a pure, moral way of life. And Paul says, that's bondage. Modern day Jerusalem, that's like Hagar, that's like the slave woman. He says, but the Jerusalem above, the heavenly Jerusalem, where things are the way they're supposed to be, heavenly Jerusalem is free. And Paul says, she's our mother. Okay? If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, that means you're born from above. Your mother is the heavenly Jerusalem. You've been born from above. You've been born anew. You're not a child of the flesh. You're a child of the promise. Okay. Paul quotes from a really unusual passage in Isaiah. Isaiah says, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Isaiah says, rejoice. You know, good news, be happy, barren and desolate woman. Well, how can a barren, empty, desolate person rejoice? Isaiah says, rejoice, because you're going to have more children than the healthy woman with a husband. How can a barren, empty, desolate person bear children and be fruitful and have reason to rejoice? Well, it's because God is able to do more in you and for you and through you and to you than you can ever possibly do in your own strength. God is willing and able to do more for you and through you and to you and in you than you can ever possibly do in your own strength. And so if you realize that in some ways your life is empty, if you realize your inability, and if that leads you to turn to Jesus, that is good news, because Jesus will do more for you and in you and through you and to you than you could ever possibly do in your own strength. Real fruitfulness, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, real fruitfulness, real eternal lasting fruitfulness in your own life, in your family, with your kids, at work. Real fruitfulness does not come simply from human effort. True spiritual fruit comes from trusting in Jesus. Paul says, now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. In other words, you didn't become a Christian because you tried hard. That's not how you got to be a Christian, because God notices you are a hardworking, good person. You became a believer. If you're trusting in Jesus, that's simply because of God's promise. That's God's grace. That's something supernatural God has done in your life. You're not like Ishmael. You're like Isaac. The fact that you're in Christ is a miracle. It's a supernatural act of God. Paul says that's who you are. You are like Isaac. You are like that boy born by supernatural work of God's Spirit. Paul says, that is who you are. Remember who you are. As Christians, we're born again by the supernatural work of God. We are children of God's promise. Okay? You didn't get where you are in Christ because you're good, because you try hard, because you're hard work. If you're in Christ, it's because God, in his great mercy and compassion, has done a supernatural work in you. You are believing and trusting his promises, and that's how we get there. Okay? If you're trusting in Christ for your salvation, you are a true child of God. It doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Gentile, whether you're physically descended from Abraham or not. It doesn't even matter how you feel about yourself. Sometimes we try harder because we don't feel good about ourselves. Sometimes we don't feel close to God. Regardless of how you feel about yourself, if you are trusting in Jesus, you are a child of God. You are accepted. You are forgiven. You are embraced. You are welcomed. You are part of the family of God. Okay. These Gentiles perhaps felt they could be better maybe if I became Jewish, maybe that'll help me. Maybe if I learned these Jewish traditions. That was not necessary. In fact, we'll see next time, that was actually going in the wrong direction. If they were Christians, it's because they were child of the promise. It was by faith. That was a supernatural work of God. Paul says, you are like Isaac. You're a child of God's promise. If you're trusting in Christ for salvation, you are a true child of God. You need to remember who you are, and you need to live that way. Now, when Isaac and Ishmael were young, Ishmael used to pick on his little brother Isaac, okay? Provoke him. Ishmael was a lot older. He would bully little Isaac. We don't know why. I mean, older brothers do that sometimes. It could be because even though Ishmael was the older brother, he was a slave. And Isaac was considered the firstborn, which meant Isaac was the heir. And so we don't know, but maybe Ishmael was jealous. Okay? Whatever the reason was, he used to pick on and bully little Isaac. Paul says it's the same way today. Okay? People who are born of the flesh who are trusting in their own righteousness don't like to hear that salvation is by faith. They don't like that. If you know you don't have any good deeds, if you know that your life isn't what it ought to be, and you hear that salvation is a free gift by grace, that's good news. But if you think you have lots of good deeds, and you're really proud of your life, and your honesty, and your hard work, and you're trusting in that, and then you hear salvation isn't based on that, you can be angry. You can be insulted. You can be frustrated. You might even feel threatened. And as a result, just like Ishmael used to pick on and provoke little Isaac, Paul says, people born of the flesh will do that. They will persecute children of the promise. Okay? Just as at a time when he was born, just at the time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. There may be times when people are giving you a hard time or making life difficult for you, because they can't accept that forgiveness is all of grace, that you have all these blessings just because God offers it for free. Some people just can't deal with that. They're threatened by it. I remember a man years ago, there was a man in a church, and he said, I hate all this talk about grace. People who are trusting in themselves and their own good works don't like the message of grace and may hate people who believe in it. But what happened when Ishmael was provoking and bullying Isaac? Well, eventually mom had to step in. Sarah said, this can't go on. You know, now Ishmael, he's a slave. Okay? He's not part of the family. He's not an heir. He has no share in the inheritance. And if he's going to provoke little Isaac, he's got to go. And so they had to cast him out. And that's what Paul says here. He says, what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son. For the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Okay. Jesus Christ came and did the hard work of obedience. He obeyed all of God's law, and he earned, he merited, he deserved God's, the Father's fullest blessing and approval. Jesus earned it with his life, and then he died so that you and I can inherit all that blessing. You know, when you trust in Jesus and what he has done, you inherit, you receive for free all that blessing that Jesus Christ has earned. Okay? The inheritance is for free when you trust in Jesus Christ. But if you're trusting in your own righteousness, your own efforts, you have no share in this great inheritance. You have no relationship with God. And so Paul concludes by saying, brothers, we're not children of the slave. We're children of the free woman. You know, he's saying, if you are trusting in Christ, remember who you are. You are a child of God. You have been set free by God. You have been born again as a free gift. You are a result of God's promise. God had said to Abraham, I will give you descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. If you are trusting in Jesus, you are one of those descendants. You are a child of Abraham because you've been born again from above. You are one of those many as numerous as the stars in the sky. You're a child of God's promise. You believe God's promise that he has come in the person of his son Jesus to be with us forever and bless us. If you want this year to be a good year, and of course, again, we can't control other people. You can't control everything that's going to happen in life. But if you personally want to do better this year, remember who you are. Okay? So much of our unhealthy lifestyle, our unhealthy habits, stem from unbelief. From feeling insecure, from overreacting. Sometimes we panic, we overreact because we're insecure and we forget who we are. You want to grow? You want to set aside some of those unhealthy ways of relating people that just seem to make bad things worse? The way you grow is by remembering you are a child of the Father. You have a Father who loves you. Things are going to happen in life, but you don't have to panic. You got to just remember, I got a Father who loves me. He's going to bring me through this. He's going to be with me through this. God's promise, he's going to be with me. That's what we got to remember who you are. You remember who you are. You keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's going to produce real different fruit in your life. And instead of bitterness or pushing people away or depending too much on other people or whatever these unhealthy things we get into sometimes, you keep your eyes on God. You keep your eyes on Jesus. That's going to produce a new peace, a new quiet confidence, a new level of self-control, an ability to think more clearly and to react without overreacting. It helps you you don't run from conflict, but you don't run to it either. You know, you want a better way to live? Paul says, don't just try to do it in your own strength. New Year's resolutions are great, but don't think you're gonna just do it in your own effort. You want a better way to live. Don't live by your own strength. Live as a child of the promise. Live by faith. Trust in God this year. Trust that God loves you. Trust in him as your father. Trust that he has good plans for you this year. Trust that he's going to be with you even when things don't go the way you hoped. Trust that he's working all things for your good and his glory. Okay? You want a better way to live? Live as a child of the promise. Live as a child who's born again by grace, who lives by faith, who's a child of the Heavenly Father. Let's live that way this year. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, so much within us comes down to deep-rooted pride, self-confidence, or fear, or insecurity, and just an inability so far to really fully take in everything that you are and everything you've done for us. It just takes so long for us to really absorb the enormity of the fact that we are born from above. You've made us new people in Christ. It just takes so long for that to really sink in, for us to really change our way of thinking about ourselves, to begin to understand that you are our Heavenly Father, that you love us with an infinite love, that nothing that we do can change that. Nothing that happens to us can change that. Help us, Lord, more and more to remember how we got where we are. Help us more and more to remember and trust in the great promises of God. Help us, Lord, when we're tempted to panic, when we're tempted to be boastful, when we're tempted to hold on to anger or to be unforgiving. Help us to remember Jesus. Help us to remember our Father in heaven. Help us to believe in the supernatural power of God who loves us and gave his Son for us. Oh, Lord, we pray this year that more and more we could lay off the unhealthy ways of thinking and acting, speaking, and help us to live as children of the wonderful promises of God. Lord, we pray for that kind of faith and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.